Claude Davis, Liam Radoge, Mark Bradley, Daniel Cairns, almost likely not to feature. Lee Frecklington's come back in yesterday to do some light training, but has lost over 4.5 kilos in 5 days of the virus. That's the rest that are available.
Obviously, Mullins as well is going to be absent.
Yeah, he serves a 1-match suspension. You know, I think we've just discussed it with the DVD's not 100% clear that to show that the referee made an error in football law. I think when you look at the DVD, you would be saying if you were a normal person that it was harsh.
What about the depth within your squad? You've reeled off a list of names there. Are you still satisfied you've got the numbers to cope?
Well, thankfully, the bulk of these players should be available for Saturday, for when Fleetwood come. And if we had a free week, there would be no issues here. We'd be thinking of getting these lads back involved in a group Thursday and looking forward to Saturday. But we've got what we've got. We've still got some very talented players available. We're still looking forward to the game. It's a massive game. It's the biggest of the season. I think Exeter would probably say the same as well. And we have a mini-season now of 5 games, and it really has to be one at a time.
No Nardiello, I'm sure you've been asked the question already as to why he wasn't playing on Saturday, but tell us.
Well, I think if they don't get a 90th minute winner, which I don't agree with what Kevin Ellison done by any stretch of the imagination, his celebrations was just ridiculous, and the further action should be perhaps taken on that, but it's a wonderful header, and Kevin Ellison's got that quality. But so if the game had finished 1-1, I don't think too many people would have raised the question. But the simple answer to that is Nards is very much part of our plans, but he was poor at home to Wimbledon, he was poor at Cheltenham, he was poor at Gillingham, and we've got people desperate to play, and you know, that's the reason.
Was that a big call for you, though? He is still your leading scorer at the end of the day, and he does have the ability to nick a goal here and there, doesn't he? Irrespective of what his level of performance may be.
Nah, I don't buy that.
No?
No, I think if you're a fan, you say, well, even if he only scores a goal and does nothing else, he's worth his place in the team.
That doesn't wash with you?
Well, it's different views as managers. You know, I've always maintained that if this football club or any of my teams had a chance to score a goal and only one chance to do it, if I had either of them United squad, who would I choose? It would be Daniel Nardiello. He is an expert finisher. But we went to Morecambe. I think the performance was excellent. I still say it. Many disagree. Performance was excellent. I've looked at the DVD. We were outstanding in some periods. And we didn't have a cutting edge in front of goal. We wouldn't have had that dominance had we gone with 4 in midfield and not 5. That gave us the dominance. And I think that on another day, better decision making when we go 4v2s and 3v1s down the middle of the pitch with lots of room in which to play. Better decision making would have given us better chances. We'd have won that game comfortably, but it's not about looking back now, it's a bit looking forward.
Have you had a sit down with Daniel? Because one game not playing up to standard is one thing, but a couple of games, 3 even, is not what you would be looking for, obviously.
No, but I think players have highs and players have lows. Daniel has had highs early in the season. We left him out midway through the season and he come back firing, didn't he? And you know, it's not a purposeful plan to leave any player out or look at individuals. I think he'd be the first to say that in those games. You know, we didn't play at Cheltenham, so we're going to excuse the Cheltenham performance, but we didn't really take advantage of the numerous chances we had against Wimbledon at the game before. When we went into Wimbledon, I think we had 2 or 3 great chances to get us in front and then level us in the game, and we didn't take advantage of that, and we shaped and picked a team for Morecambe, and we'll shape and pick a team for tomorrow night. That doesn't mean Nardiello will play by any stretch.
Will he play?
He'll find out tomorrow night about 6:15 whether he'll play or not. We're going to pick a team. We'll consider what Exeter City is all about. We'll consider what we want to do, how we want to win the game. And the one thing that Daniel knows is that Steve Evans, the manager, will pick a team that he believes can win the game. I'll repeat what I said. We were outstanding at Morecambe and got done with a sucker punch. And that's my views on the game.
Why is it then that fans don't share that view? I'm not saying all of them don't, but we had a big bulk coming on our programme on Saturday not sharing your view. Why do you think that is? Are they purely looking at the result, in your opinion? Or why don't they agree with you?
Fans all have different opinions. I've had fans this weekend and about the town have agreed with me. I've had fans in about the town who have told me I ain't got a clue. It's, you pick a team to do a job, you pick a team to win a match. I only want what the fans win. If I think I heard Harry Redknapp say yesterday, they seem to feel it more than the manager when something goes against you, you don't win a game. Their fans would have been hurting and bleeding on Saturday when that second goal went in for Morecambe. But I can assure you, you want to see what I was feeling. It's quite deep and it's hurtful. But fans will always have opinions about what a team should be. They always have opinions about who should play. And but I will not subscribe to an opinion that you can play how you like, but if you score a goal, you're excused.
Yeah. You've lost three of the last four. How worried are you?
Well, you're always worried when you lose one out of one or one out of two or whatever it is. And our form could be better and should be better, and we know that. But what we would say is, anyone who watched us against Morecambe, if anybody's there, and I think BBC Radio Sheffield reporter shared the view that when I said, how do we lose it, they shook their heads as well, they didn't know. No one outside Gillingham Bias doesn't think we should have left Priestfield with a point at least. And the only poor performance we've had in that spell was away at Cheltenham, which I come on and said we were extremely poor. If we perform as we can perform in the next five games, we give ourselves a chance of being involved in the automatic promotion place on the last day. If we don't, we won't be.
What's the missing ingredient then at the moment?
I think sometimes you can't continue as a manager to say, look, they'll put a straitjacket on you. But I think we've been on the end of some tough decisions at times to take. We've got ourselves in some fantastic positions with some fantastic chances and no taking them. And so I think that helps. That doesn't help. And what's not also helped is at times going without key players. You know, we've shaped up at the back end of last week preparing for Morecambe with Daniel Cairns and his team, and he strains his Achilles in training on Friday and can't even, he's listed as a substitute but wouldn't have been able to go on the pitch. So it's when he pulled out the warm-up. So it's we just need something to go for us.
Is pressure a factor?
Well, you only ever know how people deal with pressure, as you know, Paul, when you're in that situation. And we've got some players in our squad who have won promotions, you know, the Frecklingtons and the Shearers and people like that who have won promotions that they've been the course.
Mm.
And we've got very experienced guys out there, but I don't see a promotion on the CV. And you never know what they're going to react like till they've been the course. We're known 5 games' time.
What do you see when you look into their eyes at the moment?
I think they're hurting about the results because I think they know that if performances have got results, we'd have a lot more points on the board. And I think they also look and shake their head sometimes at some of the decisions that's gone against us and various things. But, you know, some of the bad finishing that some of the colleagues have done or whatever, that they see them in training, bend them in the net. And I've always said that in my football career, and I think every manager from Danny Wilson and Dave Jones and Sheffield to the Premiership would tell you that you could never pick a team only based on what you see in training, because sometimes there's World Cup players in training. When you put a crowd around you, you can't play.
There's a bit of panic around at the moment, which is never good anyway, but when you're about to go into a big game against Exeter on your own patch, how do you negate that?
Well, we can't affect whether there's panic in the supporters or whether they're on edge or whether or not we have to make sure that the players discount that, stay away from it and just focus on the game. What I do know is that if you looked at our 5 games in isolation at the end of a season, could we deal with those games to be in the automatic promotion race? The answer is absolutely yes. Have we been smashed up for Exeter in terms of injuries and illness and various things that will affect our team tomorrow night? Absolutely yes.
Mm.
Can we overcome it? Without a shadow of a doubt, we can overcome it. And if we win tomorrow night, the doom and gloom boys will go back into the cupboard. The positive guys will be shouting louder. And we need positivity. You know, I've said to the lads this morning in training, we need positivity all over the place, good or bad, against Exeter. Because we beat Exeter, it doesn't mean we're going to be promoted. We lose against Exeter, it doesn't mean we're not going to be.
Mm.
But this is a big, big game for both football clubs who are next to each other on the league table.
There's no room for error now, really, is there? Because the games aren't there. The volume of games aren't there.
Well, I think if you're any manager outside Martin Allen, and I know that Mickey Adams at Port Vale's managed to get a couple of results, but the rest of the managers will be scratching their head. You know, if you're Gary Rowe at Burton Albion, you don't expect to be getting beat 7-1 at Port Vale, and it could have been 15. You know, people forget that. It wasn't just 7, it could have been 15. And you don't look at that. You don't look at Mark Yates at Cheltenham, who's, by the press reports, losing the plot with supporters down at Plymouth on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because pressure tells. So if you're Steve Evans and I'm his you know, vocal and on edge and as much as any manager in the country, then we all have to make sure that we have a level calmness across the squad and a level calmness across our performances to make sure we're only focused on beating the opposition that's in front of us and not allowing us to think about anything else.
As you've already said, Exeter is a huge game because there's pressure on them too, isn't there, given how they got on at the weekend too. So how do you feel this one is going to go? What kind of game are you expecting?
Well, it's going to be tough, isn't it? They've got a fantastic away record. They've got a manager who's tactically very, very good, who signs good players, and who has made a real impact at Exeter City in his time managing there, and someone I have enormous respect for. But the reality is they're still below us on the table. We still have a game in hand to them. Mm. And if we beat them tomorrow night, that's a significant factor in the sense that I think it would take us too far from them for them to come back on us. But that would only be one. There's about seven or eight others.
And presumably automatic is still in your sights? You've not given up on that, have you?
Paul, we are a game in hand away from being 1 point behind the third place team. And the third place team, like us, have difficult fixtures. People think if you're playing like Northampton play York City on Saturday, they'll think that's easy. Well, York City are fighting for the Football League lives with a experienced manager, Nigel, who know how tough it is going to beat Northampton, but they go there and fight. And then I know everybody's running. They have to then go to Wickham. Mm. I know what the manager at Wickham's about. He's best friends with my assistant manager. Then they have to go to Port Vale. It's tough. You know, people say about, you know, Cheltenham. They've Gillingham on Saturday. They've still got to play Bradford. You know, Chesterfield, upcoming we are on, still got to play Bradford on Saturday. Bradford have to go to Chesterfield. They have to go to Cheltenham. We have to go to Bradford. It's going to go to the last day. I said it weeks ago.
Definitely.
I think it will. I think you can look at whatever permutation of results you like. I think my personal views and beliefs, and I've always shared them with you guys, is that I think if Port Vale go and win their next two matches, I think they probably have almost be touching base of League One, and then at least one automatic place, and that's going to be game on to the. I genuinely think it's going to go to the last day. I want to make sure as much as I can that the Millers are part of that last day experience, where we could be playing to win promotion to League One, and I think there's a lot of managers that would love to be in our position.
But even still, you didn't want that, did you? Idea, you did not want when you took this job going into the last day. Trying to do it, did you? You would have expected to have wrapped it up by now. Or maybe not now, but certainly in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I think our results have been so inconsistent. We've never looked like getting an early promotion for a long time.
Mm.
And I think we can all look back and say we'd have signed a striker. Can I use the expression, my God, we tried, you know? And no one can, you know, everyone says, everyone loves a tryer. There's no assuming it's the case of just Steve Evans. But we tried, and the chairman's tried, and he's backed it up with outstanding sums of money we've offered. And we've never been, maybe your standards of who we're trying to get have been too high. Maybe we've targeted players that we'd have just never either had the deal accepted or wouldn't want to come and play in a level. Maybe we can look back and learn from that, because in football you're all learning. But let me tell you, when I took this job, if somebody had said to me, hold a shot at home in the last season, get a positive result, you're in League One. You're saying I wouldn't have accepted it. I'd have grabbed it, put it in the car and drove off. That's reality. And you know what? Ask our fans. They'd take that, wouldn't they?